You're listening to a message from Victory Dumaguete. The Holy Spirit empowers us to overcome all barriers to becoming witnesses to the ends of the earth. Discover more about this truth in week two of our series, All Access.
Good afternoon, 3 p.m. service. Can you just greet a person sitting next to you and tell them, so glad you can make it today. Pakigreet with our best smile, a fist bump or handshake and all that. Now, if you're here for the first time, we're down to the second and last installment of our mission series called All Access. It is all about reaching the nations. If you've been with Victory for the longest time, you know that we are dead serious and committed to reaching the nations of the world through world missions. And that is why every year, we always have a mission series. And it's a big deal for us simply because we believe it's a big deal for God. In fact, talking about missions and reaching the nations, all that, in the Philippines, we are called Victory. But Victory in itself is part of a worldwide global movement called Every Nation. And that speaks of our commitment to reach every nation out there, no matter how hard, how difficult, or how far off that nation will be. Before we get to our second installment, let's just have a quick recap of what we had last week in our series, All Access. On week one, we talked about going into the world. I believe Martin was here. He preached a powerful word about the importance for all of us Christians and believers to go out there to be the salt and light of the earth. We are called to go out there into the world to preach the gospel in the nations. Last week, we also learned about the story of the Tower of Babel, that huge tower in the book of Genesis, chapter 11, at the start of humanity and all that. There was this one group of people that were spreading from the east. God wanted them to fill the earth, to pretty much spread throughout all the earth and glorify Him. But these people, they had other plans. They didn't want to follow God. They decided to settle in a certain area, and they made a city and made a huge tower called the Tower of Babel. And they wanted to reach God with it. Pretty much, they wanted to rebel and disobey God and follow their own plans. They wanted to settle in with this area. At the end of the story, we learned that God punished them by giving them different languages, which confused them and separated them and made them scatter throughout the entire world. So eventually, even though they didn't want to, they actually still spread throughout the entire world. And when we look back at the story, we can get to see the importance of having to move and go into the world to follow God's purposes for our lives. Now, we should get out or get away from staying too much in our comfort zones and to pursue God's plans for our lives rather than our own ambitions or our own plans. Because God's plan, God's purpose, and God's destiny for us is immensely greater than whatever we'll be able to come up with, as that story shows us. Now, going back to the story of the Tower of Babel, God didn't give up on the nations. Yes, nag-spread na ang mga people throughout, but He didn't give them up. He had a plan for them. In fact, the next chapter of the Tower of Babel, God calls this one man, his name is Abraham. Out of everyone in the world, He called Abraham to continue His redemptive plan for all of humanity. And through the line, the descendants of this one man, He would enact His plan. Eventually, coming from the lineage of Abraham, God came into this world as Jesus. We all know what Jesus did for us. He lived the life we should have lived, died the death we should have died in our place, on the cross. He died for our sins on the cross that we may be saved, that we may be redeemed and saved from all our sins. And that is why after Jesus' death and crucifixion, and after His resurrection, before He left, He commissioned His disciples, His apostles, the following things. In Matthew 28, verse 19 to 20, He says, "Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations." Jesus' last will, last few words for His disciples were, "Go out there and make disciples of all nations. Go out there, spread throughout, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." To pretty much encapsulate what we learned from the first week, if you're here today, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, God has blessed us with a global influence, a global potential. Now, in other words, God's plans for you is not just limited. His scope for what's going to happen in your life is not just limited in your own city, in your own barangay, nga diri lang ka, mura ni kaya nimo, because this is your background, your status, or your course, or your work. No. God has called us to make an impact in the nations of the world. In other words, whether you think it or not, you are made to make an impact, to make a difference in the world out there. In other words, pang international level ta. Can you still sit with me for a while? Pang international ka. Worldwide caliber, not just pang city lang. Yes, we'll make a difference and make an impact in our cities, our hometowns, our own nation, the Philippines, but not just that. God has called us to make a difference in the nations of the world, much as He has called the disciples. A global influence. Now, continuing with the first week, when you think about go and make disciples of all nations, some of us would agree na it sounds like a pretty big statement. parang medyo overwhelming lagi ni. Go out there in the entire world. Imagine if you will, if you were one of the apostles, you were with Jesus, last few moments of Jesus, Jesus probably said, okay, I have one more thing for you guys. So there was persecution going on and all that, and his apostles were probably thinking, okay, Jesus, what's one thing you want to tell us before you leave us? Mag Bible study midday, what's one thing you want us to do? And before he leaves, Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. I want you to go out there. Don't just stay here in this place. No, go out there in outside Jerusalem and all the nations of the world. I want you to spread throughout the world. Now, if you were those apostles, you'd probably think, okay, Jesus, saan ako na? Now, good for us now, it's easier for us right now in our society, in our culture, in our time right now to travel. Anyone here, you love to travel? Good thing for us right now, we have peace of air, airplanes, boats, buses, cars, motor. It's easier for us to travel now. Back then, if they needed to travel by foot most of the time, lakaw sila, 20 kilometers, 20 miles and all that. It's either by foot, by donkey, by camel. Mga nalang ang sakyan nila. So to hear the statement, go, reach out the nations. Imagine, ang biyahe nila from one country to another, it will take weeks, sometimes months. Sa tuwa, days na lang, ang biyahe tag-airplane. So imagine the immense statement, the immense command Jesus gave his disciples. Parang, if you were there, we would probably think, Jesus, how can we do this? And maybe for some of us here today, after the first week, after you heard, okay, I am called for a global impact. I am to make a difference in my campus, my workplace, my community. Starting with that, if I can't yet go to another country. Tom, how can I do that? I am this person. Maybe you guys think that, Tom, I'm an introvert. I'm a shy type person. I'm not the life of the party. I'm the death of the party. Dili ko maimot sultig, and my English is not that good. Ma-challenge kong English. I always blank out. I'm not that good relationally, meeting people, whether it's Filipinos or international people. This isn't just the thing for me. How can I do this? Maybe some of us, we're thinking that way. How can I be effective in making disciples, in preaching the gospel, if I have these limitations? Tom, I stutter. I have this speech challenge and all that. Or maybe you feel like, Tom, how can we reach out to these people? Medyo lahi sila eh. Muni akong likes, akong dislikes. This is the kind of person I am. But this group of people, they're different. Have you noticed that it's easy for us people to gather with people that we are familiar with, we are similar to, similar to likes, dislikes. We gather with those people. But if someone lahi like personality sa to, lahi og likes, lahi og dislikes ang person sa to, it's harder for us to relate to those people. But whatever the hindrances, whatever the differences, whatever the limitations and barriers there may be with regards to us and the other people out there, the fact remains Jesus called us to go out there and make disciples of all nations. In other words, no matter what limitations, no matter what barriers there may be in another nation or another group of people, the fact is it is possible to still go out there, make disciples of all nations. So the big question now is, how? How can we do it? How can we be effective in reaching the nations of the world? How can we be effective in preaching the gospel to people who are different than us? Or even if inani lang ta, how can we do that? How can we be effective in preaching the gospel? And that's what the second installment is all about. For week two, we're going to talk about a global harvest. In other words, as we go out there into the world, we don't just go out there speaking, Lord, na ba tayo ma-reach out ani? Lord, is the gospel going to work in this place? I don't think so. It's not a Christian nation naman. No, when we go out there in your campus, workplace, or another nation, we go out there with anticipation. Think, Lord, there's going to be a great harvest. No matter what the obstacle is, Lord, I know there's going to be a great harvest. That's what this whole installment is all about. Knowing and believing, understanding that as we go out there, God's going to bring a great harvest. Now, how do we do that? How do we get that great harvest? That's what we're here to learn about. So if you have your Bibles with you, kindly turn them to Acts chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 to 12. It says there, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly, there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. And at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. And they were amazed and astonished, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome. Both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians, we hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. And lastly, and all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? Now, just a quick background of what we just read a while ago, all right? So what's happening here? We're reading this story pretty much the start of the birth of the church over 2,000 years ago, the start of the early church. They were all huddled together in this one area, and suddenly the Holy Spirit came upon them. And we're going to learn more about what happened to these people. But before that, a quick background lang muna. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1, we read there's a special thing that's happening. In verse 1, it says there, when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. Meaning, when the Holy Spirit chose to come and was on them, it wasn't just a normal, random day. There was a specific reason why this specific day. This was about 50 days after the death of Jesus. Why did the Holy Spirit choose the day of Pentecost? What's the big deal about Pentecost? The day of Pentecost, also known as the Feast of Weeks, was one of the three most important festivals of the Jewish calendar. It's one of their big three festivals out there. Diba kita mga Filipinos, malita magpiesta. Sila sa Jewish culture, they also have their own festivals. And every time the day of Pentecost would come, it would be a busy time, especially in Jerusalem. Just to give us an idea of what might happen, so many people coming in, flooding in the Jerusalem because it's a festival, it's a feast. In other words, it's a very busy time in Jerusalem. Scores of people from different places throughout the world, particularly Jews, of course, would go to Jerusalem because it's a sacred festival for them. And what happens during Pentecost? It was a time of celebration for the gathering of the first fruits of the harvest. In other words, pag harvest na, the best of the best, the crops, sa nakuha lang harvest, they would offer it to God. They would bring it to the feast of Pentecost. In other words, think of it as tithes and offering, a fiesta level. That's what they would do. They would offer the very first and the best of their crops or their harvest. And interestingly, since we're talking about first fruits and all that, the first fruits of the church were men of every nation. Ang usual Pentecost was people bringing their first fruits, harvest nila. This day of Pentecost was special because the Holy Spirit chose to fill in the apostles or the believers of Jesus. And also the first fruits, the first few people who were reached out through the early church were people coming from different nations of the world. The start palang daan of the early church, when it started, when it was birthed, God already wanted them to reach out the nations out there, to go into the world, reach out the people of the world. That's why, you know, Pentecost was so important to them. Another thing was that Pentecost was also important because Pentecost was an annual celebration of the renewal of the covenant of Moses. Moses' covenant with God, it was a renewal. That's why it was important for them. And that's why it was a special day, itong Pentecost. And that's why they were all together in Jerusalem. There were so many people out there. Now, for the apostles, they were also huddled or they were together because Jesus had given them an instruction. Before Jesus left for heaven, he told them, go and make disciples of all nations. And again, it's a pretty overwhelming statement. But good thing, wala sa gipabayaan ni Jesus. Good thing naman, Jesus knew for a fact na if ang apostles lang nila ni, they wouldn't be able to do it on their own. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus gave them this instruction. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Basically, Jesus told his disciples, okay, I'm going to ask you to go to the ends of the earth, go to the nations, disciple them. But before you go out there, wait muna, I have something for you. Stay in Jerusalem, wait there, I'm going to send someone to you guys. And through that someone, you're going to be able to go out there into the world, preach the gospel, be effective witnesses. And that someone is the Holy Spirit. The reason why they were there together in Pentecost in one place was that they were waiting for the Holy Spirit. Even if they didn't know how exactly it was going to happen, how it was going to be, they were just there waiting for what Jesus instructed them. And they were filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit. That's what this whole thing is all about. The Holy Spirit empowers us to be effective witnesses. Let's sit with it for a while. Effective witnesses. In other words, if you're here today, you're wondering, how can I be effective in preaching the gospel? It is through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Going back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8 says here, you'll see power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. A witness, if you love watching court cases, a TV, criminal series, and all that, a witness is basically someone who testifies in court of what he sees. Everything that he's seen, witnessed, experienced, he's there to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And I'm sworn in sa Bible. That's what a witness does. They're there to share what they've experienced, what they've seen. And Jesus said that we will be his effective witnesses as we go out there to the campuses, our workplace, our communities, and of course, to the ends of the earth, to the other nations. We'll be effective witnesses. We'll be effective in sharing or preaching the truth, the gospel. We'll be effective in doing so. And how can we be effective? Because Jesus said we will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. The word power comes from the Greek word dunamis. That's wherein we get our word for dynamite. The word for power comes from the original word of the item dynamite. That's the kind of power describes explosive, forceful, amazing power. And if you know dynamite, one of the most common uses for dynamite is that it's used for mining. What they would do is that if they were going to tunnel through certain layers of bedrock and all those sides of mountain and all that, if it's harder to dig through or if they just want to save time and all that to make it easier, you would attach or stick several sticks of dynamite in the walls and all that. And after that, they would detonate it. They would blow it up para easier na ang pag-tunnel or pag-dig. Dynamite is used to destroy whatever barrier, whatever wall they would face, whatever hard surface nga ma-encounter nila as they dig through, as they push on to continue mining. In other words, dynamite, think about it, an explosive power of a dynamite breaks through, destroys hard rock out there. In the same way, Jesus promised us that through the Holy Spirit, we're going to have power to be effective witnesses. That when we go out there and preach the gospel, no matter what the barrier there is, cultural barrier, language barrier, religious barrier, ideologies, whatever barriers that may be, we'll be able to break through those barriers because the Holy Spirit is with us. Let's think of this, for example. How will we be able to break through those barriers? Think of the apostles, for instance. These guys were simply ordinary people. They were fishermen, tax collectors. Kung inhalaw niyo, if NBA pa lang ni ang first five ni Jesus, dili kayo nakatsada. Fishermen, tax collectors were considered outcasts in their society. These were his main guys. The task of radically influencing, changing the world, preaching the gospel, he entrusted it to these guys first. His apostles, the fishermen, the tax collectors, the ordinary people. He could have chosen the Pharisees, the sons of high officials, government officials, princes, emperors, and all that. He could have done so, but he chose these people first. He entrusted the message of the gospel to them. And yet, these guys were able to radically spread the gospel throughout their time, throughout the world. They went out of their way, preached the gospel, planted churches, and we are here right now, thankful for their efforts, because without them, we wouldn't be here right now, worshiping God every Sunday, thanking God for whatever He did in our lives. It's because of their efforts. How was it that they were able to do so, to break through barriers? Social barriers, status pa lang nila. If you think about it, kasi maminaw, unlearned people, fishermen, tax collectors, why would people listen to these guys? And yet, they were able to effectively do so. Why? Because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit made them effective. Peter, for instance, after the Holy Spirit came upon them, Peter went out of the room and started preaching. This is the same Peter who denied Jesus 3 times. The same Peter who was afraid of being caught and connected to Jesus. Went out in a time of persecution or pwede sila mapreso, he went out, preached the gospel to a huge crowd, and over 3,000 people got saved. From different nations, got saved, surrendered their lives to Jesus, received Jesus, wanted to become followers of Jesus. Can you imagine the effectivity of what happened? Is it because eloquent kay si Peter? Is it because maika isa mo speak, tsaka stature niya? I believe not. It's simply because the Holy Spirit was there with him. The Holy Spirit empowered him, gave him what he needed to be able to effectively preach the gospel in a way that he would never be able to do so on his own. That's what happens when we have the Holy Spirit, church. There is no telling what's going to happen when where God has placed you right now, in your campus, workplace, communities, families, wherever you're right now, if you rely on the presence and power of the Holy Spirit, there is no telling what God can accomplish for you. There's no limitation. The Holy Spirit makes us effective, give us the power by giving us the boldness to preach. For some of us here today, we feel the urge, the desire to reach out to our fellow men, ma-ka-work na to, classmates, schoolmates, but we're thinking, Tom, how can I do so? How can I preach? The Holy Spirit will be there to give you the boldness, the same way it gave Peter. It will also give you the wisdom, the leading. Kinsa preach nimo, kinsa ang i-reach out nimo. There's a story in the Bible about Philip, who was led by the Holy Spirit to reach out an Ethiopian. Philip was led to reach out an Ethiopian person. The point is that the Holy Spirit directs us, empowers us, gives us what we need to be effective witnesses for Jesus. If we want to be effective, we need the presence, the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, going back to the story, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 to 12, we see here, you know, talking about the Holy Spirit, we see this spiritual or supernatural manifestation of the Holy Spirit. It's amazing how it fell down. It says here, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting, and divided tongues of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Why tongues? And why tongues of flame? Why the strong wind? Why the Holy Spirit came this way? There's actually an explanation for that. And it all affirms that it is the presence of God that's empowering these people. It says here that tongues symbolize the speech and the communication of the good news. And fire symbolizes God's purifying presence, which burns away the undesirable elements of our lives and set our hearts aflame to ignite the lives of other people. In other words, it's like God is affirming that He is pouring out His Spirit, His presence into the lives of these people, giving them the ability to speak, to communicate effectively the gospel to other people out there. And fire and strong winds, it always talks about the presence of God being there. In other words, God was there with them to empower them. And the result, that unique manifestation in Acts chapter 2, at this sound, because they were praying in different tongues, in languages that they couldn't understand. And amazingly, at this sound, the multitude came together and they were bewildered because each one was hearing them speak in his own language. Can you imagine that? Let's say we're here today. All of us started speaking in tongues. All of us started speaking in different languages. In languages that we couldn't understand. The international people, let's say, nagparade sila di asagawas. And they passed by Spanish Heritage and they heard us. And they're all thinking, man, how is this possible? We each hear our native languages. Let's say there are Koreans there, Japanese, American, British, Spanish, Russian, all kinds of international people. And we're all Filipinos here, most of us. If you have some international friends, you speak your own native language as well. But the point is, in that story, they were all Galileans. And yet, all those people groups were hearing them speak in their own language. That's a miracle right there. Through the Holy Spirit, they were speaking in different languages which all those other people groups could understand. They were hearing them. And they were talking about the wonders of God. And they were thinking, what does this mean? Why is this happening? Why are these Galileans talking this way? What was the purpose? What's this whole point? Basically, the whole purpose of God sending out His Spirit, empowering the disciples with the Holy Spirit to be effective in preaching the gospel, it was because God wants to reach the nations of the world. He wants the disciples to be effective in preaching the gospel to the nations of the world, because as we go out into the world, we glorify God in the nations. God wants to be glorified in different nations of the world, to bring His glory in the different nations of the world. He wants us to reach out the world. It all boils down to reaching the nations. This is why the result of the Holy Spirit coming down and upon the apostles was that so many people from different nations were saved. And it continues to do so. The good thing is it doesn't stop there. Because you see, talking about the nations of the world, talking about the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit, if you're thinking, all right, Tom, that's amazing. What the Holy Spirit did in the lives of the apostles, that's great, but what about now? Close man sila ni Jesus, ano man sila? Siguro that's why okay ang Holy Spirit nila dito, atong panahon. Siguro expired na ang promo sa power of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? The amazing thing and the good thing for us is, the same Holy Spirit that was at work over 2,000 years ago in their time is the same Holy Spirit we have today. There is no expiration of promo sa power of the Holy Spirit. There is no difference in level of Holy Spirit. Nakay barangay level Holy Spirit, nakay Manila level, nakay international level Holy Spirit. No, it's the same Holy Spirit. The same Holy Spirit that empowered Peter, the apostles, the early church, is the same Holy Spirit that empowers us today. The same Holy Spirit that works signs and wonders in their time is the same Holy Spirit that can also do signs and wonders in our time today. In other words, we have access to the Holy Spirit who will empower us to make us effective in preaching the gospel and reaching out to people in the world. Just as the early apostles were able to do so. Imagine that the same Holy Spirit is at work in us. If you're here today, you're a believer, you're a follower of Jesus, you have the Holy Spirit in you, you are and you are called to be effective in preaching the gospel to whomever God has called you to reach.